Welcome to Inside Track. Santa Aurelia LLC is solely responsible for its content and pays for it. The views and opinions expressed on Inside Track are those of the host and guests and not necessarily endorsed by KVOI or its advertisers, but they should be. And now here's Bruce Ash.
Hello, Insiders, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Ash, welcoming you to a special Middle East Peace edition of Inside Track. Today, I'll be sharing some of my thoughts on the historic diplomatic breakthrough signed this week at the White House between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and a separate normalization document between Israel and Bahrain. We'll also hear from Benny White, who's running for Pima County Recorder, about the controversy on mail-in ballots and a lawsuit with Democrat Secretary of State who's trying to live up to her promise in 2018 when she ran for office of helping Democrats win more elections. We'll talk with Pima Treasurer Beth Ford about your real estate tax bills, which were recently delivered, and how she has modernized and streamlined the treasurer's office. And finally, to District 1 Supervisor candidate Steve Spain, who joins us to discuss how he plans to fill Allie Miller's very large shoes. Do you have a home improvement project you want to start this summer and are worried if you could afford the luxury you deserve? Corazon Cabinet sells J&K, Conestoga, and Yorktown cabinets. Plus, Corazon offers professional design resources for your home. Call Corazon Cabinets today at 488-2266 and schedule a visit to the showroom. It's an easy number, 488-2266. Hey, big doings at Corazon. They're moving their showroom in October, so watch for some even greater specials over the next month on their quality products for your home. When you do call, tell Joy, Allie, or David you heard this ad with Bruce on Inside Track and get an additional discount on their already low, low wholesale prices. As some of our listeners may know, if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, I was invited to the White House earlier this week to discuss the signing of normalization documents in two separate agreements between the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain with Israel, which have been referred to as the Abraham Accords. Even Brett Stevens from the New York Times, no fan of the president, admitted the accords were a Middle East triumph. Quoting Mr. Stevens here, "What's bad news for some Palestinian leaders may be good news for ordinary Palestinians. Peace between Israelis and Arabs will not come from the inside out. That is, from a deal between Jerusalem and Ramallah that wins over the rest of the Arab world. Decades of diplomatic failure, culminating in John Kerry's failed mediation efforts in 2014, should put an end to that fantasy." A final point about these deals. This wasn't supposed to happen. Not under the leadership of Israel's supposedly bellicose Benjamin Netanyahu, certainly not through the diplomatic offices of the Trump administration. Luck and timing played a part, as always they seem to do. But it behooves those of us who are so frequently hostile to Netanyahu and Trump to maintain the capacity to be pleasantly surprised. That is, to be honest. What happened between Israel and two former enemies is an honest triumph in a region and a year that's known very precious few. It's also clear to me, your host, that while many critics scoffed at the president for being an amateur, his inside-out approach worked to craft a deal here with enemies that makes so much greater sense than trying to find peace with the Palestinians. What the president has done is forced the recalcitrant Palestinians to the table by making peace with her enemies and helping wake up the PA leadership so that they don't miss an opportunity to make any deal unless they come to reasonable terms with Israel on a two-state solution. It's also clear the Gulf states fear Iran more than the lies they have accepted about Israel over the past eight decades. Hence the need for security, not against Israel, but the neighborhood Satan, Iran. Yes, the Sunnis are finally seeing the Shiite threat, which exists with much greater clarity. Emirati Foreign Minister Sheikh Abdullah has spoken publicly about the connection which the Abraham Accords have to complete a two-state solution. He wrote an opinion piece earlier this week. The signing of the peace accord this week is a disruptive reminder that Emiratis and Israelis and all the people of the Middle East are tired of conflict. The priority now is to continue to modernize our societies and to stabilize the broader region. Better ties between Arab states and Israel will help, but we must go further and faster on other fronts. First and most urgent priority is to de-escalate tensions and begin a regional dialogue on peace and security. We want normal neighbors, effective and verifiable non-proliferation and non-interference pacts are the goal. The second priority is to expand a community of peaceful coexistence. Perpetual resistance and sectarian extremism have delivered a deadly and decades-long pandemic of chaos and strife. He goes on to say, in the Emirates, we are trying to set a different example. We are committed to moderation, inclusion, and peace. We're even building an interfaith Abrahamic family house in Abu Dhabi with a mosque, church, and synagogue in the same complex. The third priority is to build a powerful engine of economic and cultural exchange that generates opportunity and understanding through the region, from the Gulf to the Red Sea, through the Suez Canal and into the Eastern Mediterranean. The extended Arabian Peninsula is the crossroads of the world. Progress on Palestinian statehood is also central. The UAE-Israel Accord stop annexation. The Palestinian leadership should use this moment to reorganize its approach and prepare to re-engage in productive discussions. As always, they will have the UAE's full support, now carried with more weight directly to Israel. Finally, normalization signifies both the importance and the shift of America's role in the Middle East. Normalization could only happen with the influence of American diplomacy and the reassurance of its security commitments. At the same time, the U.S. gains by divesting more of the burden for regional stability to a stronger team of dependable and willing partners. The UAE and Israel are off to an energetic start with cooperation on the coronavirus and technology, space and energy, investment and food security. Emirati young people are learning Hebrew. That's really amazing. UAE universities will begin accepting Israeli students. Regular flights will start next year. These and thousands of other small and large steps will carry the message of peace, shalom, and salam throughout the region. Friends, with the start of the Jewish New Year, 5782, will this be a year filled with peace and promise? Well, as we Jews say prayers for the entire world on this first day of Rosh Hashanah, let's hope that after 72 years of bloodshed, mistrust, and strife, there's actually hope. And it's not just for the new year, but for the future of all humanity. Our guest for the next several minutes is friend of the show, Benny White, a Republican nominee for Pima Recorder. Welcome back to the show, Benny. You've been working pretty hard on your campaign, right?
We certainly have, Bruce. We've been out, now we've dropped campaign literature at about 28,000 houses, and we're still hitting it every day. There are several other efforts going on. In addition to that, my plan is to go to about 25,000. So we will have gone to about 53,000 houses, and that will result in about 100,000 voters will have seen my campaign literature by the time they get their ballots in October. I walk about 10 miles a day.
Yeah, well, there's good and bad about that. Have you lost some weight during this election?
A little bit, yes. My wife is loving it.
So, all mail-in ballots, two-month-long elections, soiled ballots. Let's break this down a little. It would have baffled the imagination a couple of years back to think that how we conduct our elections in this election, 2020, and how we might end up conducting our elections in the future would be such a big deal. But it really has become a big deal, hasn't it?
It certainly has, Bruce, and I am very concerned that in this election environment, this political environment, that the elections are going to be decided by the lawyers and the judges rather than the voters. And I just don't think that's what the founders had in mind when they set this country up.
Well, we always seem to be taking such a long time counting ballots in Pima County. We can get to that later. But even in Maricopa County, and they have had historically a pretty good record of counting ballots quickly, it just seems here in Arizona, it takes a ponderously long time to count the votes and to finalize a canvas, doesn't it?
It does. A lot of the problems that we see in Maricopa, and one of the problems with Maricopa is it's not a very transparent process. They have some political observers inside, but they don't let them actually go around and watch everything that's going on. So things are done up there that we don't really understand why they're done the way they are or what actually happens. Like in the 2018 election, there were a huge number of ballots that were duplicated, and we don't really know why all of those ballots were duplicated. The problem with duplication is if it's not closely observed, people can make additional marks on them, or they can change the votes when they're making that duplicate ballot. So all of that needs to be very, very closely observed, and that's not the case in Maricopa County.
We also had the issue in 2018 with these emergency voting centers that were set up. And now with the business with the Wuhan virus, how is the virus going to impact how this election is run, do you think? And from the point of, hey, you're running for Pima County or your quarter, how would you handle voting during a public health emergency such as what we've had over the last 6 months?
Well, Bruce, we have a state that's a little different than other states in that, in our state, we have about 75 to 80% of the ballots are returned by mail. Now, that leaves about 25 to 20% of the ballots that are returned at the polling places. And that's what the voters want. We don't want an all-mail system. There are a lot of voters that want to go to the polls on election day for a variety of reasons. And for that reason, we have to keep this hybrid system. Some people just don't trust the mail to get their ballot back. Other people want the traditional method of voting. They want to wait until election day and go to the polls. So you have to accommodate all those voters. The government doesn't get to dictate how people are going to behave. So as recorder, my job would involve making sure that we have good voter registration rolls to begin with, and then handling the mail ballot system and the provisional ballot system. The mail ballot system in Pima County, I feel, is pretty secure, in large part due to the procedures that I put in place over the last 12 years, working with the recorder's office and with the elections department to make sure that we have a good daily accounting of the number of ballots that are being sent out, the number of ballots that are being returned, public records of all of that, and then we have political party observers inside those process, watching the ballots being processed, watching the ballots being counted, and make sure that every legal ballot is accounted for and counted on election day. Now, early voting is a little bit of a separate issue. It's kind of a hot topic here in Pima County right now. The Board of Supervisors yesterday had a discussion item on emergency voting location in the Pascoyaki Reservation, which is Precinct 110. But the reality of that situation is it's more of a political situation, and I think a little bit of a tension between the Pascoyaki tribe and the Tohono O'odham tribe, and that the Tohono O'odham tribe has a early voting site at Sales, and the early voting site for the Pascoyaki tribe was moved out of Precinct 110 primarily because of very, very low participation levels. There are a little bit over 2,200 voters in that precinct, and the early voting use of that site was in the single digits in every election that I've looked at. So there are a lot better places to place those resources. And, you know, the Tohono O'odham Nation manages to get their people to that site, and I would suggest that the Pascoyaki Nation might be able to do a little better job of accommodating their citizens as well. And there's a separate issue with the Pascoyaki in that a lot of them don't live on that reservation. They're kind of scattered around. I did a recount of the Pascoyaki Nation several years ago, and they're located in California and Nevada and different places. So there's a lot of issues involved there that I think don't have a whole lot to do with voter access to the ballots.
So they're registered in Arizona but living elsewhere. Does that disqualify them from voting in an Arizona election?
Well, the election I was talking about was a tribal election.
It was not a state election. Got it.
Those people in other states are not registered in Arizona.
Right. Now, will there be a tribal election in this 2020 election on the two nations?
I do not know that.
Okay. So recently there was a move by Democrats Secretary of State Katie Hobbs. By the way, this is just for remembering purposes. This is the same Katie Hobbs who is on record saying in her campaign in 2018 she was running for Secretary of State to help more Democrats win an election. So she wanted an extra 5 days for the state's updated elections procedures manual to correct the ballot. Attorney General Mark Brnovich refused to sign off on it. They went to federal court. And a judge ruled just in the last couple of days in favor of Katie Hobbs. Your opinion of that decision?
Well, this is a little bit legally complicated, but let me try to make it really simple for people. What is happening here is Democratic Party plaintiffs are coming into federal court in Arizona with a complaint that our rules and procedures cause an unequal treatment of the citizens. For various reasons. On the signature situation, we have for a long time attempted to verify signatures on mail ballots where there was some question about the signature, that sometimes a husband will sign a wife's affidavit, sometimes a wife will sign a husband. Sometimes people are having some kind of an illness that's causing a tremor and their signature varies, or they're taking some kind of medication or an injury. And so we try to call those people and contact them to make sure that they signed that affidavit. So we can make sure that the ballot actually came from that voter rather than some forgery. What Ms. Hobbs has now done, though, is after the election is over, she wanted that extra 5 days to be able to go out and find all those voters who we had a question about their signature and make sure that they signed it. But now that has been taken a step further. In the decision by the federal court on Thursday, the judge decided without any trial, without any evidence, without any testimony, that the procedure should be changed so that now we will have 5 days for people that submit a ballot without any signature to come in and sign that affidavit envelope. Well, to begin with, the Secretary of State has absolutely no constitutional authority or no legal authority to affect changes in Arizona election law. What she is supposed to do is take the laws passed by the legislature and uphold them and defend them and provide instructions to election officials about how to administer elections. That's not what she's doing. In these consent agreements where she is agreeing with these Democratic plaintiffs, she is changing the law without any involvement by the legislature. And that is simply illegal. It cannot happen. And I'm hopeful that the Attorney General and his staff will recognize that and take action to vacate these illegal orders by the federal courts. Federal courts cannot issue an order implementing a consent agreement where that order itself or that agreement violates state law. If there were a trial in a federal court and the court decided by hearing witnesses and seeing evidence and taking testimony and cross-examination and all those other things, at the end of that trial, if a court decided that something was unconstitutional or violated some federal statute, then they could do something about the Arizona law. But in the absence of any of that legal proceeding, a federal judge can't just on his own decide that Arizona's procedures are wrong, and it would be more fair for a different procedure to be implemented. And that's what's happened in these two cases where we extended the cure period. There's no provision for curing these ballots after the election in our Arizona law. And now we're going to get people coming in to put a signature on an affidavit where there was no signature on the initial ballot that was cast. And the problem with that is Bruce, that we don't know where those ballots come from. Post office delivers ballots to addresses where the people have died, people have moved. They have put them in assisted living homes and nursing homes where the patients may or may not even be able to be mentally cognizant about voting. And some of those ballots come back without signatures. Well, who sent that ballot back? Was it a caregiver? Was it a spouse of somebody that died? Was it a parent of the child that moved away? We simply don't know. And that's why Arizona has always required a signature on that affidavit so that we could verify that it was actually that voter that signed that ballot affidavit.
Well, as I said, Katie Hobbs decided when she ran for election, she wanted to make sure more Democrats won. Hey, one last question before we let you go here this afternoon, and that pertains to the issue of COVID on this election. Project in the future, your Pima County Recorder, there's another health crisis. What would the main thing you would want to do as Pima County Recorder to do in order to protect voters when they come in to cast their vote?
The recorder has to work with the elections department here in Pima County, and the elections department doesn't work for the recorder. The elections department works for the county administrator.
Right.
But it actually is a joint effort. There's a lot of coordinated activities that have to be conducted, so you need to make sure that you have an adequate number of polling places, whether they're precinct polling places or my suggestion that we transition over to a vote center operation to get rid of the provisional ballots that we have. But you have to have all the necessary spacing, checking people to make sure that they're not sick when they come in, and then making provisions for them to be able to vote outside of the interior of the building if they are sick or have some kind of another problem. And our officials right now are doing that. They've put up signs that if you come into the parking lot for a voting location and you have a problem either getting into the building or you don't want to go into the building for one reason or another, the election officials will come out to your car and allow you to vote while you're still in your car. We also send people to people's homes. Vote teams go to people's homes or their hospital beds and allow them to vote. So all of those things are good measures to allow people good access to the ballots. And I would continue to do all of those things.
Benny, thanks very much for coming on the show today. If people want to support you with a little bit of dinero or if they want to work for you, how do they get a hold of you?
You know, Bruce, once people look at my qualifications and experiences, just no question that I'm the only qualified candidate for this office. They can go to bennyforrecorder.com, just spell out all the words, and I have a wealth of information there, all of my interviews and videos and events and positions and problems and solutions. Everything is there. There's no secret agenda behind what I'm trying to do.
The secret agenda for you is you want to serve the public. You want to make sure that the votes are done completely and accurately. Your opponent is basically just a paid official of the Democratic Party.
She's a community organizer and a social activist who wants to break up the situation. So, you know, people have a clear choice. They can either go into chaos or have a good recorder.
Anyway, thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Stay tuned. Inside Track, we'll be right back. Jamie Kipper and her father, Gary Kipper, from Tucson Iron and Metal. What are they going to see when they come through the gates?
So when they come on in, they'll see our building up front. People have free rein to then go out and look in the yard. So it's not a typical scrapyard with a ton of big machinery. We have a couple of forklifts around, but that's about it just to help move material. So when you come in, it's all organized by material, whether it's square tubing, angle iron, roofing, and then there is a pile in the back, which is still organized and easy to get through, but that's stuff that comes over from the scrap. So we're unique in that we get stuff in from the scrap, which a lot of artists and people will like or reuse, whether it's a sink that someone needs for their house. We sell literally anything made of metal.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard, 701 East 36th Street. Open Monday through Saturday.
I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. I don't ever want you to be dependent on government ever again. I want you to become financially independent. You will never, ever have to depend on socialist security for your survival. We are here to guide you to financial independence. That's imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track. Our guest for the next several minutes is Beth Ford. This is the Pima County Treasurer. She's a CPA. She's been doing this work here in Pima County for some time. Beth is running for re-election and she deserves your support. She is one of the most conscientious public servants that you're ever going to find in Pima County or anywhere else in Arizona. She's well respected by her colleagues in the field. And she deserves your support. Beth, thanks for joining us this afternoon on Inside Track.
Thank you for having me on.
So it's been kind of a busy time at the treasurer's office, and tax bills are out. Just for clarification, you don't set the tax rates. You're the person with the green shades and the pencil recording all the money coming in, and you do a great job doing that. But all the tax bills are out. How's that process going so far?
Oh, it's always busy. We send out about 500,000 tax bills.
Wow.
So the phones get real busy. Please be patient if you call and have a question, but we will get to you, and we try and get to you within 5 minutes, so be patient with us, please.
Right.
And we'd like to encourage people to pay online with the COVID-19 situation, to come down into the building. You have to have your temperature taken. You have to have a mask. We're practicing social distancing, so you may end up having to wait in line a little bit if you do come down. You can pay online on our website. With an electronic check, it's 50 cents. There's a fee that's 1.95% to use a credit card. And, of course, you can always send us a check or use your bank's online bill pay.
So anybody who does have a question, if they don't come in, they're able to talk with the representative by phone, right?
That's correct. And we've cross-trained all of our staff, so you shouldn't be passed from one person to another. Any of my staff should be able to answer your question.
Yeah, and one of the things that makes you unique from a lot of public officials is you've looked at ways of streamlining your office, working with technology, and having fewer people there, but training them so that they're more productive. Isn't that right?
That's correct. When I started 20 years ago, we were budgeted with 46 staff. We've automated 90% of our tax payments, so we're down to 25 staff members at this point. And sometimes we don't have much to do.
Oh, don't say that too loudly.
I know. Not
well, but that's come with the technology that you've embraced and working alongside people who have been trained and are long-term employees in the department. That really does make a difference, doesn't it?
It makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. We have very little turnover in our staff.
I know in my own company, I attribute that because I'm such a fabulous boss. But obviously, it's more than just being a great boss. It is about embracing strategies and methods to keep people working hard, interested in their jobs, and knowing that every day is sort of a different experience for them. What's the most, the person who's worked for you, who sometimes you're just so surprised that they're able to do the job as good as they do it. Anybody stand out? You don't have to mention names, but anybody stand out in your department like that?
Probably my tax supervisor. She's been very innovative in trying to streamline processes in the office and has really come up with some really good ideas that we've implemented. The other thing that I believe strongly in is staff development. You know, we want to invest in our staff and really show them their value to the organization by investing in them.
And probably a number of them have been able to rise through the ranks as well.
Yes. We're always happy to see somebody being promoted and promoted out of the treasurer's office.
There's
lots of opportunities within Pima County, and we're reputed as really having very well-trained staff, and people like to take my people. Sometimes that makes me mad because I lose good ones.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good for the county overall.
So I hate to talk about your opponent at all because he's been sort of a disaster at anything he's done. But, boy, you hardly hear anything about him. Nothing's going on with this campaign. What do you hear out on the campaign trail? I know you're talking to people all the time. How's the campaign going for you?
The campaign's going very well. I'm finding that I have a lot of support. I get complimented on how my office is run on a regular basis. The one thing I have heard my opponent would like to do is have a checkbook like the state treasurer does for transparency purposes. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of the data. The state treasurer has one organization, the state of Arizona. We have 98 different political subdivisions. We also have confidential information if you think about HIPAA laws. And we also have law enforcement people that have their information redacted. So although I believe strongly in transparency, that wouldn't give anybody a complete picture of what's really going on in Pima County. A much better resource is every political subdivision does a comprehensive annual financial report, which is chock full of information on the organization, their community, and what they're doing, and what the results of operations were. They're usually about 100 pages. There's a lot of information in there. And that's all public record now.
As we get toward the election, everybody can use some more dinero. How do people support you, Beth?
Visit my website. It's fordfortreasurer.com, all letters. Has more information about me and a donate button. I would really appreciate some donations. With this COVID, it's been very difficult to raise money.
And friends, even a $5 or $10 gift is meaningful. This is an election that's a down ballot election, but this is the office that keeps all of the finances straight, not just for Pima County, but for a whole host of political subdivisions, school districts, and so on. There's a lot of work that goes into the Pima County Treasurer's Office, and Beth Ford is really, as I said before, one of the best public officials elected in this county in many, many years. Beth, thanks very much for coming on the show today. We'll talk to you again soon, and good luck in that star interview forum next week with your opponent. That ought to be a real doozy.
Thank you so much, Bruce. I really appreciate you having me on.
All right. Stay tuned to Inside Track. We'll be right back. I'm proud to welcome my good friends at Tucson Iron and Metal Retail to Inside Track as an advertiser. Jamie Kipper and her staff are conservation experts. They sell round and square steel tubing, metal plate and roofing materials, as well as new and used steel, aluminum, and stainless steel to ranchers, artists, interior designers, roofers, and do-it-yourselfers, just like all of the listeners here. Tucson Iron and Metal Retail is open Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 a.m. to noon. Tucson Iron and Steel Retail, 701 East 36th Street. Call 520-209-1576 or go to TucsonIronRetail.com. And when you do call, mention this ad and receive an additional 10% discount on their already great prices.
I'm Eb Wilkinson with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. I don't ever want you to be dependent on government ever again. I want you to become financially independent. You will never, ever have to depend on socialist security for your survival. We are here to guide you to financial independence. That's imuswilkinson.com, 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Welcome back to Inside Track. Our guest for the next several minutes is a guy who is running to fill some pretty big shoes. Allie Miller has been a Pima County supervisor for the last 8 years. She, as you know, has decided not to seek re-election. Steve Spain won a primary victory in a very contested race in convincing fashion. Steve earned Supervisor Miller's endorsement early on, and he joins us here on Inside Track to talk about his campaign and how he plans to carry on the direction that Allie Miller had, the conservative direction, serving his constituents if he's elected in less than 60 days from now. Welcome to Inside Track, Steve. How are you today?
Bruce, I'm well. Good to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
You've been in the IT business, very successful. You've had a great career. Allie decides that she isn't going to seek re-election. A bunch of people start getting in. What was your impetus getting involved in the county supervisor race?
You know, it's funny because I've never really sought to get into politics. I've enjoyed commentating on politics from the sidelines and doing some writing for the Arizona Daily Independent over the years and letting my opinions be known. Never really thought I would jump into it, but I was really at this right point in my career, having taken my severance from Starwood and Marriott after a 15-year, as you said, very successful career with those companies, and having a new opportunity, having a different workload, a different demand on me, it opened up that opportunity to be able to run. So when I found out that Allie was retiring and had an opportunity to discuss with her what the job entails and what the responsibilities would be, and looking at the field to make sure that we've got somebody who's in there, like you said, to fill those big shoes, to continue to stand up against the cronyism, stand up against the waste, and just be that clear, consistent voice shouting from the rooftops that we're not doing right by Pima County. It seemed like a good fit. It seemed like the right time to try to jump in, and I'm very, very excited with the success we've had so far.
Well, obviously your message resonated with Republican voters and some independents who jumped in to the race. Your opponent in this election considers himself to be a moderate, but he loves the squad. So with that in mind, why should District 1 voters trust him?
I'm yet to find a reason for that, because, as you said, he is a big fan of the squad. He wants to hold himself out to be a moderate. He points to the fact that years ago he was registered a Republican. You know, Steve Kozacik used to be a Republican, and we see how well that's worked out for the city of Tucson. I don't see that working out any better for District 1. District 1 deserves better than that. They deserve somebody who is consistent, somebody who is conservative, somebody who is going to fight for all of us, not just District 1, but the whole of Pima County, to get out of the county the value that we put into it, which we don't now.
District 1's a donor district, not a recipient district. The tax revenues that come in from District 1 far outweighs what they get in return, it seems.
Not it seems. That's very much true. Look at the conditions of the roads in District 1 outside Tana Mirana, outside Tana River Valley. They're crumbling,
right,
just like the rest of Pima County. Again, we don't get the value that we put in. And, you know, to listen to my opponent, he talks about a disastrous revenue shortfall coming because of the pandemic. Well, not so much. He gets this wrong, because Pima County increased its budget year over year for this fiscal year. So
right,
there is, even if state shared revenues do come in lower, and that's not even fixed yet, those could change. Even if they do come in lower, we've still managed to increase the taxes within Pima County enough more than to compensate for any loss we get from the state. So it's wrong thinking. He's got his facts wrong. He's got his approach wrong. If anything, in this time when so many of our friends and our neighbors and our family members and the people around us in our community are all struggling to get back to their lives, Pima County needs to tighten its belt just like the rest of us have.
Right.
And I can promise you that is not the approach my opponent will take. He said so.
So when your opponent served as a principal, I believe, at Kelleen High School, he was a disaster. Why would he be any different as Pima County supervisor?
That's something else I can't figure. You know, TUSD fired him twice. And if he's not good enough for Adelita Grijalva on the school board, I worry about what a supervisor's role would look like for him and just how badly he would fail the rest of the community. He's not the right guy for this kind of a leadership role. He, again, embraces the squad, those far, far left ideologies. He's wrong on the economics. He's wrong on what Pima County needs to be able to move itself forward, to be able to bring in jobs and opportunities. I've got a totally different perspective than he does. I have that significantly more conservative perspective. And by the way, I've never been fired in my career, more than we can say for him.
Take some talent, Steve, to get fired from Tucson District 1 twice.
Yeah. Well, I just don't think he should be holding himself out to be the strong leader that he says he is. He's not the right fit, and he doesn't have the private sector background to understand what businesses need to be supported in this community and those businesses that would bring in opportunity, bring in better jobs, help all of us individuals grow. He talks about his 20-some years working in the public sector. Somebody who thinks like that would be another rubber stamp for the wasteful agenda on that Board of Supervisors. It's not what we need.
Yeah, and you've actually been a small business person yourself after you left a major company. You started doing consulting. So you've actually signed the front of a paycheck and not just the back of a paycheck as your opponent has, right?
Absolutely.
Makes a big difference.
It's a different approach, and you look at what stands in the way of getting things done here in Pima County. As I said in a newspaper interview a few months ago, we don't have a record of picking winners and losers as Pima County. Pima County picks losers and losers because they bet wrong. Instead of Pima County betting on businesses, Pima County should shrink itself and get out of the way so that businesses can foster better businesses, so that our community, not the government, but our community can improve itself and improve the jobs and improve the opportunities.
Your opponent wants to increase taxes through the RTA for road maintenance. This is specifically a different direction that he wants to take the RTA. Your opinion on that?
I got two big problems with this. First off, the county already has a significant amount of money coming in from the gas tax,
yes,
from
do.
The vehicle license tax, that should be going to roads, should be
it's
going
not.
To roads. Now, for 20 years, our county administrator put forth a budget that didn't even have a line item for road maintenance. They have wasted those funds for many, many years. They still aren't doing the kind of road work they need to. The only reason they're doing any road work is because of the work that Supervisor Miller has done, what she's accomplished in these last few years. He wants the RTA now to pick up maintenance. He wants the RTA tax to double, by the way, and then he wants the RTA to start doing maintenance. So I've got two problems with that. One, the RTA was never intended to do maintenance, and the county should be doing it on its own. And two, because it's the county's duty to be taking care of county roads, saying that he wants the RTA to take over maintenance is wiping his hands of the duties of the office he seeks. Why does he get away with absolving himself of that role and think that he's a valid candidate for this? That's absolutely wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Your top priority if voters elect you?
That has changed a little bit over the course of the campaign just because of what COVID has done to not just the community, but the whole world. Really, the top priority for me at this point very much is to do within Pima County whatever I possibly can to get it out of the way of recovery. When you look at the recession from 2008, we suffered that bullwhip effect where we were pretty much the first to fall and the last to come back, right?
Yeah.
We don't need to repeat that. We should, as a community, not government, but as a community, we should be able to propel ourselves ahead, show the rest of the country how to recover, as I've said many, many times now in this campaign, safely but swiftly, so that we're stronger than we were before. Safety is obviously key. Well, I don't want to see another person get sick. I don't want to see another person die. We've got to do this safely, reasonably, but we've got to be swift about it. We can't be the laggards that we were 12 years ago. We've got to come back and come back stronger. And the way to do that is clearly, as we demonstrated 12 years ago, not through governance. We've got to get Pima County out of the way.
Speaking about getting county out of the way, earlier this week, the Pima County Health Director announced that basically Halloween was going to be canceled this year. Your view on that?
I do think it's a shame. I think we've seen the numbers improve dramatically.
Yeah.
I am starting to see some interesting studies from other similar disease outbreaks where cold and flu season actually somehow moderates these things, because the cold and flu viruses that circulate tend to kick people's immune systems into overdrive. I mean, there's some interesting science here, and it's not necessarily the mainstream media pushed science. It's the real science that's up there. By the time we get to the end of October, which 6 weeks away from that, I suppose,
yep,
we'll probably be in a good point where, by the way, all the kids who'd be trick-or-treating are going to be wearing masks anyway, right? That's kind of part of it.
No, that's the amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah. There's some irony to this. You'd think by then we might be able to go in a different direction. And you know what? If it's getting worse, then decide to keep your family home. If it's getting better, I don't think that Pima County needs to tell us whether or not we can go for tricks or treats.
Yeah.
I guess, Bruce, at the end of the day, Chuck wants us all to get a rock.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's a Charlie Brown reference.
Yeah, no, I know that. Hey, how do people support your campaign? How do they get involved with you? How do they give you money?
Best way to get a hold of me, and for all of those purposes, is through the website votestevespain.com. That's Spain just like the country. It's all one word. It's very simple. You can also follow me at Vote Steve Spain on Facebook. Not terribly active with the Twitter, but there is a Twitter account out there as well, Vote Steve Spain. So I try to make it easy to find. If you want to call on the phone, that's on the signs all over towns, 520-305-9469. And if you want to fire off an email, that's steve@votestevespain.com.
One last question before we let you go. I'm starting a new tradition here on Inside Track. Your favorite song of all time?
That's an easy answer, but it's going to be a little bit obscure. It's one that first time I heard it really spoke to me, and this was many, many years ago. It's an instrumental. People are going to think I'm nuts, but it's actually by a saxophonist by the name of Dave Koz. And the song is called Together Again. And it's funny. As I was working away yesterday on campaign stuff, I had some radio on and that song came up and I actually stopped what I was doing to listen to it because I hadn't heard it in quite a long time. So yeah, favorite song of all time, that would be it.
That's great. We're going to have you on a couple more times before the election. Keep working hard and thanks for joining us here on Inside Track.
Bruce, thanks again for the opportunity. I look forward to our next conversations.
You bet. Thanks for listening to Inside Track again today. And thanks to Pima County Recorder candidate Benny White, Pima Treasurer Beth Ford, and District 1 Pima Supervisor candidate Steve Spain for their contributions. Until next week for Inside Track, this is Bruce Ash wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon and a happy 5782 to my Jewish brothers and sisters. Customers come first at Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus.
A lot of the cities and the counties around have initiatives for artists. I think we're one of the premier artist suppliers for steel. First Saturday of every month, you can come down early and actually go through the scrapyard across the street. It's 7 acres of metal. You can walk through with our people and pick out what you want. It's always interesting to see what the artists have done. We've done actually a couple projects with the U of A Engineering Department and Music Department, where the engineering music students came down together. They had to pick something out of the scrap, and they had to build an instrument. And we have one of those in front of the plant. Some really cool things come out of the scrap.
Tucson Iron and Metal Surplus. Call 209-1579. Stop by the yard. 701 East 36th Street, open Monday through Saturday.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Wouldn't it be great if political leaders could create that country again? Learn how to do exactly that, one family at a time, with Imus Wilkinson Investment Management. Call me, Eb Wilkinson. IMUSWilkinson.com, 777-1911, 777-1911.